Welcome to the Something New Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Miss Arlene Gill. Arlene, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya, and thank you, everybody, for spending your time with me. This conversation is about a new way to determine what's your next best step. So the subtitle is, what is a new way to think about how not to get overwhelmed by the big picture or by other people? So, you know, it's late in the afternoon, and I don't know about you, but it feels a lot later than it actually is because it's been a long day for me. And there's been parts of it that I would say I'd have to label as kind of difficult too. Have you ever had one of those days? And what does it mean to you when you tell somebody it's been one of those days? Well, maybe it means you started the day with a whole list of your very own things to do, but then you didn't get any of them done. And you get home and you relax at the end of the day and you're exhausted from everything that you did get done for everybody else. Or maybe your long day actually started with hope and enthusiasm because you checked that first thing off your list of things to do. But then three or four more things jumped right back on that list to replace that one thing, which in and of itself wouldn't have been too bad, except for that happened for the next two or three things that you took off your list. So you start the day with a list of three things, and now you've done those three things, and your list still has seven or eight other things on it. And you wonder, what happened? Or maybe your long day was because you got a call or a text or an email from blank, you know, you insert the name for whoever that is for you, because you know who it was who hijacked your day with something unexpected. Was it a spouse or an ex-spouse, a friend or a former friend? Was it a sibling? A young child or an adult child, or maybe a boss or a coworker? What method did they use to derail you? Did they ask you a question? Did they make a special request? Was there a change in plans? What was it? Or maybe someone came to ask you to, now visualize the air quotes here, volunteer to do something, and they didn't take no for an answer. Well, then again, maybe your no was a little squishy, meaning that your no wasn't very convincing. Each one of us can probably picture that moment where we've given or heard a squishy no, because it happens. We've been on both sides of that equation, I'm sure. Because when your no is squishy, the other person pounces like a dog because they smell that fear and they go in for the kill. And by the time you leave that conversation, you're going, what happened? And you have no way of really remembering how you got in a position where now all of a sudden you got to make 15 dozen cookies for a bake sale that's happening in 48 hours, all because of a squishy no. So the tools I'm going to discuss with you today will help with insight on helping you create what's the next best step when you're working in these kinds of scenarios, in any kind of relationship or with any other person. Because sometimes the choice of what to do next really can bog us down. Sometimes the question of how to respond and take that next best step gets overwhelming, often to the point where it can cause us paralysis. So with that in mind, I want to spend the rest of our time together talking about three key points that might help you in determining what's the next best step. First, we're going to focus on the here and now. Then we're going to talk about that concept of you cannot control other people and how they respond to you. You can only control your actions and reactions. And finally, we're going to close with determining who you are and what defines you and how to be true to yourself in everything you do and say. So stay focused on the here and now. Well, that may sound a little contradictory when I'm talking about your next best step and then I tell you focus on the here and now, but it's not really a contradiction because life should be lived in the present, but life is also dynamic. It's always changing. So you ought to always need to be thinking about what's your next best step. Because if you're not living your life in a way that you're in control, someone else is going to control your life for you. That's a guarantee. So to focus on now makes what you do next less important. It removes fear and it also removes second guessing, but it allows you to be prepared to keep moving forward. I got some advice as an entering freshman in college, which was a long time ago, but I still remember the professor's words of wisdom because I found them to be very accurate, you know, as different events unfolded in my life. And it's all about being in the here and now and being committed to where you are. His advice was, if you've got a big test to study for and you get invited to a party, you have a choice to make. If you decide to study, focus on the studying. Make sure you're 100% committed to that studying so that you know your material and you know it well because you've given it your all. If you go to the party, then by goodness, focus on that party. Have a great time. Do what you went to do. In other words, don't stay home and try to study, but you're distracted because you're thinking about what's happening at the party. And don't go to the party and be a stick in the mud because you're not participating and you're bringing everybody else down because you really think that you should have been there, you should have been back at home studying. So you make your choice and then you stay committed to it and give it 100%. Be in the here and now. Or you can choose to change your mind and get recommitted to a new direction. So for example, you studied really hard for 2 or 3 hours and now all of a sudden you've decided, you know, I've done all I can do for right now. I think I'm going to go to that party. And that's okay because you spent your time wisely. You created a new course of action. You took your next best step and you acted on it. So if we don't manage our ability to give ourselves permission to change course in a situation like this, where we decided that we may have made an error in judgment, or we had more time so that we could do both of them and we really didn't consider that at the time. If we don't give ourselves permission to be flexible and respond with what is our next best step, then happiness, the joy of living, will always be just right outside of our reach. Here's another example. I make it a habit when I'm out with family or friends that I ignore my phone. There's too much potential for someone to intervene and take me mentally or emotionally out of the here and now. I made a conscious decision to be fully committed to the people that I'm with. Out of respect for both myself and for them, I stay focused on where I am. That's important because let's say an ex-spouse calls to say, I can't take the kids for my weekend after all. Or let's say a child or a friend or a coworker calls and wants to gripe about something you didn't do or you didn't do right or you didn't do enough of, whatever. Fill in the blank for the person and the topic that will most often sneak up and impact your life when you're out having fun or doing something else that you want to be doing. Once you interrupt the here and now to handle that, you get enveloped with the anger and the frustration and sometimes fear or other moments or other emotions that take us away from what we were enjoying doing. Your head may start to spin and you want to address these other issues instead of enjoying where you are. And again, that cheats you and it cheats the people that you're with. Let those other issues rest until you're done with where you are or who you're with and what you're doing. Those phone calls, texts, emails, they'll wait. Remember, we often act as if these distractions are life or death, but really, none of them are. There's very little that happens in our life that requires us to immediately drop everything and go respond or make a choice. Despite what your children or your spouse or ex-spouse or coworkers or anybody else may lead you to believe, or despite the fact that with technology advances, we can now respond in a split second. There is nothing that, or very little, that can be a life or death emergency that should distract you from being present in the here and now. So remember the scenario I gave you when we first started about the volunteering? I'm going to give you this hint that I learned in that kind of scenario, because this hint, this tool, is very malleable to use in a variety of situations. And it's important to create a memorized response and practice your response, because if you use it often, it comes naturally. And a lot of people don't think quickly on their feet. And especially when you have the emotional connection of you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or come across mean or anything like that. So you really need to practice this. So here's a tool for being in control of your time and your energy and your next step and what you do or don't do in your life. So here's the response when someone's pushing you to volunteer. I'm not sure. Let me check my calendar and I'll give you a call tomorrow. If someone keeps pushing me for an answer or for a yes answer because they don't like the answer I give them, then I simply say, I apologize, but no, I can't. Because they wanted an answer on the spur of the moment, that answer has to be no, because I have not considered whatever other things are going on in my life. And then simply walk away and say, I wish you the best on the project, though, or smile and nod and say, take care. Because when you're not there, they can't argue with you. They can't talk you into that 15 dozen cupcakes in 48 hours. So the bottom line is, don't let other people or situations determine who you are or how you respond to them. You be in control. You take the time that you need to determine what is your next best step. Which leads me to point number two. You cannot control other people or how they respond to you. And you can only control your actions and reactions. That is where deciding what is the next best step gets tricky and where so many people stumble or fall. Because like in that situation with volunteering, that other person really did think that they could control you and your actions or your ability to volunteer. And because you gave a squishy no, in fact, they actually did. But the fact of the matter is, you can only control your actions and reactions. It's nearly impossible to determine what your next best step is in any scenario if you're worried about how other people will respond to you. So here's an example. Does this internal dialogue sound familiar to you? If I say ABC, he'll come back with an LMNOP. And I hate that when he does that to me. So I'd rather just say XYZ, even though that's not how I really feel. Oh man, I give up. Because now that I think about it, he'll probably still come back with the LM part of that discussion anyway, which drives me crazy because I know that that means he's not listening to me and that he's unhappy. What on earth am I going to do? Maybe if I don't do anything, just let him think that I don't care. He'll do whatever he wants to do. No, that's not good because I really want him to do this other thing instead. But if I ask for that, he'll come back with something completely different and off the wall and even harder for me to deal with. And then the next level of that internal dialogue and trying to determine the next step really goes dynamic. If I don't give the ex what he wants, even though it messes up my plans and it costs me money, he'll talk bad about me to my kids. And when he tells the kids that they didn't get what they wanted because it was all my fault, they'll hate me forever. And I'll never get invited to any of their games or plays or concerts or anything. Oh my goodness. This level of negative self-talk can give a person whiplash trying to figure out how this one choice might impact the rest of their life. Did you feel the sadness and the stress in all of that? And the tension building in the scenario as the person worried about what to do or say based on what someone else might do or say? and not just for now or today, but for years in the future. The person gave up who they are and what they believe in before they ever got started because they were so worried about how someone else might respond to them. Please, let me take a moment to... about worrying or trying to figure out how someone else will respond to that, to your feedback or your choice or your decision. That is not your job. So imagine yourself picking up the plate after dinner and you're scraping those leftovers in the trash can. You are scraping that junk off that plate because that's not your responsibility. So now feel the relief in no longer having to own both sides of the decision-making process, both sides of the conversation. They're not yours. You can only control yourself. You cannot control somebody else. So here's another example. Teenager asks to borrow the car tomorrow night. And you say, I need to think about it. I'll let you know in the morning. Well, you have the right to say that because you're the parent and most likely it's your car. If the child keeps pushing you for an immediate answer, what's the next best step? Remember the tool about volunteering? Well, that applies here too. I apologize, but no, you can't. And that's the end of the discussion. You walk away and say something like, dinner will be ready in 20 minutes. If you're not standing there, they can't keep arguing with you and trying to push you to change your answer. But let's say your child is really, really smart and backs off and lets you think overnight about your answer. Your thought process might be, I don't have gas money to fill the tank right now. And he probably doesn't have money to fill the gas tank either, so the answer should probably be no. Perfectly legitimate, right? But then we go into, well, but that's going to start a fight. Again, we're second guessing their response. Or how about this scenario? I don't know the group of friends he or she's hanging out with. I'd really like to know who they're going out with and where they're going and when they'll be home. But that might start an argument if I ask too many questions about their friends. Maybe if I just say, okay, go out and be safe. Yeah, I'm not real comfortable with that though, but yeah, and besides that, then they'll just think that I'm treating them like a baby and I'm ruining their life. Wow, some people can spin the drama into unbelievable stress-inducing, paralyzing doomsday results. So many things went wrong in those scenarios and the parental thought process. But the key is in trying to second guess the child's response. The parent then gives up the right and to protect that child, to set those boundaries, the right and the responsibility. The parent gives up the opportunity to have an adult conversation and to set boundaries with their child, to teach lessons. So what's the next best step for the parent in this scenario? Well, that answer is going to be different for each of us. But the fact of the matter is, again, we are setting the boundaries. We are determining what the next best step is. It's not our job to figure out how our child will respond. It's only our job to respond to them in kind. So, again, it bears repeating, you are only in control of your actions and reactions, not other people's. Which leads me to point number 3. Figure out who you are and what you stand for. This is probably the most difficult part of this whole exercise in determining what the next best step. Because you have to be true to who you are and what you say and do always. That means you need to know what you stand for. What are you willing to compromise on or settle for? When you look in the mirror, what positive, affirming words do you say to yourself to start your day? If you don't, work on changing those negative labels and pick up positive labels. Start to live life positively. We often pick up negative labels from parents, bullies, siblings, love interest who betrayed or hurt us, and that's just a few examples. But the good news is as an adult, you don't have to own any of those labels that somebody else gave you. You get to decide who you are, not anybody else. It's about choices. You get to choose to create to be a better, stronger person or not. Choosing to do or not do is still making a choice. When a person chooses to do nothing, they are making a choice. Making a choice to change, well, I know it's not an easy process, but it is doable and it's worth the work. So you might ask, how can I say that with such confidence? I've been there. I've done that, as the saying goes. And I'll explain more about that at the end. But I want to give you a tool to start using today, if you choose, to help become a stronger you, a more powerful you. Because when you look in the mirror, you will find power in your words. So try this process, and using the words first and knowing that they're just going to be words, but you're going to say them and repeat them until they become part of your heart, part of your core being, and they're true to you. Because we all know that words can hurt, but words can heal too. So when you look in the mirror, if you start saying things like, I can't do this, you got to change that mindset to, I got this, or my opinion doesn't matter. Well, you know what? If you're in a position where somebody is asking your opinion most certainly does matter to them. And you need to honor that and switch your self-talk to, my opinion does matter. Again, when we love somebody who betrays us or hurts us, they don't have to tell us, but we pick up the message that we're not lovable. Well, that's not true, and that doesn't have to be who you are. Your message to you is, I am lovable. I used to look in the mirror every morning and see the bags under my eyes and the dark circles and talk about, oh, I'm so stressed and I feel so crazy. Well, I still see those bags now and then, but what I say to myself is, I am peace-filled. I'm going to face this day full of hope. If people are using you as a doormat, how do you learn to stand on your own two feet and say what you mean what you say by using these tools? If you're a bully now, how do you learn to dial it back and become softer without feeling like you're becoming invisible by using these tools? So keep a sticky notepad with you in the bathroom or the counter. And every time you see your reflection, what do you think about yourself? If it's negative, change it to something positive and write it down and put that sticky note where you can see it. Don't do anything else when you make a negative statement about yourself until you turn it positive and write it down. When you believe that you have value and that peace-filled is how you want to live, then the next best step for you will come from an internal source of power. When you believe that you are smart enough, when you're worthy, and that is how you live your life, then the next best step for you will come from that power. So in summary, what does all of this mean and why does it matter anyway? Well, thinking, planning, living, and analyzing who you are, truly knowing who you are, that becomes a big relief and it becomes a drama killer so that you can take the next best step. So what taking the next best step is not, it's not about avoiding conflict. You cannot be the best you can possibly be if everything you do or say is couched to avoid conflict. But it's not about creating conflict either, about dropping a bombshell and then watching to see who survived. No, that's not a skill that's used wisely or reflects well on you. It's not about revenge or anger. Taking the next step is about being positive and rooted in who you are. Conflict is a part of life. As individual human beings, we're all different, and we think differently. It's not about giving up who you are and always being the one that gives in. It's about creating a win-win scenario so that everybody comes away with something, but not everything. So in order to be true to who you are, you need to know who you are. Maybe that is your next best step, to define who you are who you want to be and how you want people to remember you. Taking your next best step is living in the here and now. Again, not worrying or wondering what will be the result of the action taken today on a person or relationship or situation in the next week, next month, or years from now. Take your next best step and try these tools and see if that becomes something different for you, something that will change the way that you respond to who you are and the people in your lives. So thank you for your time today. Again, my name is Arlene Gale, and as I mentioned earlier, I have walked this walk and I've turned my life around living these tools. I tell my story about overcoming multiple generations of alcoholic abuse and religion and culture being used as a weapon. I tell that story in my best-selling award-winning book, Face Forward, Move Forward, which is available on Amazon.com. If that happens to be a good, viable next best step for you, I would welcome the opportunity for you to look at that and then give me your feedback. I'd also like to invite you to join me on Facebook. My professional page is Arlene Gale, again spelled G-A-L-E, Arlene Gale, author and public speaker. I'm on Twitter too. Come be one of my twits. My handle is at Arlene_Gale, A-R-L-E-N-E underscore G-A-L-E. Again, my website is arlenegale.com, or you can email me at arlene.gale@yahoo.com for any reason. I love to chat. I love to help, and I will look forward till the next time we get together and discuss something new. And maybe that something new is that next best step that you've discovered for you.